This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantera Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not bad.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mattis.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Tee to Green Golf Show. I'm Brian Cozio, along with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mattis. To all the dads out there, happy Father's Day weekend. Hope you're going to have a fun weekend, whether it's with your family, on the golf course, hopefully a little bit of both, a great meal along the way or two, as it is Father's Day weekend, one of the best weekends in the calendar year. Coming up here on the show, I'm going to talk about this week's PGA Tour event, the RBC Heritage, some good stuff from last week's Charles Schwab Challenge, our normal features, Champions Tour Report, Ryder Cup Report, Tip of the Week coming up with Jeff. We'll talk to Ray Tugin and David Wagner, the general manager and president of the board, respectively, from Lancaster Country Club. Kevin got a chance to join them, talk to them. We'll have that in our second segment, a little bit more about Lancaster, one of our great partners here on Tee to Green. And also Steve Beatty in our third segment from Tee to Green. He'll be a part of the show. Everything you may want to know about getting a putting green outdoors, indoors, in your garage, a simulator, something for your pets, something around your playground for your kids. Steve's got a lot of great information coming up here on the show. So let's get right to it. We'll start off with a good morning to Kevin and Jeff. Hi, guys.
Good morning, Bri. Happy Father's Day to you. A day early.
Thank you. You as well. Jeff, happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. It's weird not to watch the U.S. Open on Father's Day. You know, that's, I mean, as long as I've been alive, that's what you did on Father's Day. You grilled something, you hung out, and you got to watch the U.S. Open and enjoy the day with your kids. But we'll still have some golf to watch.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the U.S. Open. This just sounds crazy. I'd kind of forgotten that this is normally a US Open week until I saw Gary Woodland with a post. Hey, Puma, thanks for sending me the Stars and Stripes golf shoes to commemorate my win a year ago. And I was like, oh, my God, yeah, that's right. We're going to have the US Open in the fall. But, yes, this is the spot, traditional spot. And it would have been cool if it was this week, on the week Phil Mickelson turned 50, again, thinking romantically here, that he would win the U.S. Open, right? It would have been cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. If he would have done it this year. And he still says he's planning on playing in a lot of these PGA Tour events. So he'll get, I'm sure, a couple more cracks at the U.S. Open before his career is out.
Has Phil's become cool, hasn't he, in middle age?
Hey. He's not middle-aged just yet. No, but
I would think he's middle-aged, Jeff. He's 50 years old.
He's younger than me, yeah.
Okay, but so he's middle-aged. Newsflash, so are we.
But he has been cool. He's embraced social media. He's actually very funny, you know, and he's good with commercial. He's good at the handling the public on TV and stuff like that. Yeah, he has definitely become cool.
But he's got the mirrored sunglasses going on. Right? He's carrying that coffee mug's like a prop for him. Not like it's just, I don't know. He's become a character, and I think it's kind of cool.
I agree.
No doubt about it. Tee to Green here, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, Jim Beam, and our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. All right, let's get to our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, now brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. This week, they're playing at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and the iconic shot of the 18th hole that you always see with the water and the marshes on the left side. Then you've got the kind of the silo tower in the background, the red and white stripes, Kevin. This event, players seem to rave about every year, about not only the course, but the hospitality, and it's got its best field that it's had in virtually ever.
It's a cool place. It really is. I haven't worked that tournament, but I've been to the tournament twice. And it's just a great tournament. That 18th hole that tee shot's pretty intimidating. You stand back in the tee box and you look at it, and there's a wide landing area, but all you really see is this giant marsh to your left that leads out to the sound. And then there's that second shot, and you really got to be precise if you want to take on that Sunday hole location. That's why we've seen some great finishes there. I think we all think of Matt Kuchar out of the bunker. To win. But the last 4 years, there's been first-time winners in the PGA Tour to win at Harbortown Golf Links. But I will say, because of scheduling, they haven't had this type of field there. It's usually the week after the Masters. So, the field of the top – not all the top players in the world are playing at Harbor, but they are now. A lot of top players there this week.
Jeff, one of the things about this tournament that Kevin mentioned is the size, is the field, and they're getting some big names. And you look at one name that we don't consider maybe, let me rephrase this. In terms of rankings and people we talk about winning, we haven't named Jordan Spieth in quite a while. He had an excellent week last week at the Charles Schwab Challenge, had a chance to win, was in the final pairing, and he's off to another great start through two rounds this week. What is different with Spieth's game, do you think, at all? Is it all mental? He said he took a total reset. He's putting again a lot like the old Spieth, where we thought, all those long putts that he would make, those medium to longer range putts when he was the best in the world at it, those are all starting to go in for him again.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. He did make a little tweak to his golf swing. It looks slightly different to me. I'd have to take a real close look on video to see what it is. It's something at the top looks a little different. I'm not sure, but I do think a lot of it is confidence, and it's amazing what the putter can do for someone's mentality and their confidence. I feel like he might have lost confidence, and if it starts with putting, it bleeds back to the rest of your game. So if you're starting to miss shorter putts, then it puts a little more pressure on the first putt, or maybe it puts more pressure on your iron approach, or maybe you got to make sure you hit it in the fairway. So all those things tend to compound on each other, and a little bit of confidence and maybe a tweak. And he was very, very good. So he's always got that to rely on. He was one of the best players in the world for a long time. So you always got that to go back on and remember. And he knows what it feels like and what it's like to play at the highest level. So, I think it'll be fits and starts for him. I kind of wrote him off the last year or two. He hasn't done too much. It is fun to watch him playing good again this year. I hope that confidence speaks, because he's a fun player. And he's a person people love to watch golf. So I'm kind of rooting for him. I hope he turns it around. It'd be a great place for him to get a win this week.
Well, here's the thing with Jordan Spieth, Brian. Remember back in 2017, he got diagnosed with mono, right? He looked leaner. It just didn't seem right. And I had said to a colleague, I go, I bet you he has mono. And they're like, come on. I go, I'm telling you, I had it. Right before I went to college, it takes you 6 to 8 months to recover, to get back from mono. That's why the Jets quarterback, Sam Darnold, I couldn't believe he came back to play in the season. Like, there's no way he's going to be coming back that quickly. And to me, watching Jordan last week, he looked like the old Jordan Spieth, just physically. He looked like he put a little weight on, a little muscle on. The recovery period to get back to where he was and then try to get his game back, those are two different things. And just to me, he looks healthier at this point.
Yeah, and he's a good ambassador for the game. He's well-liked amongst the players. For him to get back up in his game going, obviously, just adds to what now is such already a deep field of great names that we all love to watch. another name at this event that was honored this week that I want to bring up here as we get to our Champions Tour report. Champions Tour report brought to you by Donald Ross right here on Tee to Green. All the clothing that we wear when we're out and about. Great stuff from Donald Ross. Kevin's got a note, by the way, on how you can maybe get your own Donald Ross clothing here in a moment. Donald Ross, Champions Tour report. We're looking at Davis Love III. Maybe the iconic person in terms of winning at this event. A five-time champion of the RBC Heritage. If you didn't hear about his story, you think we've all had a rough 2020? Well, if you want to add in to the fact that if you had your house burned down in front of your own eyes and watching it, that's what happened to Davis Love III this year. A tough moment for him and his family. His entire house was ruined. And the tournament director, who ironically enough took over this event in terms of his job title the year that Love won his first event, presented DL3 this week with a trophy and a plaque that had all 5 years on it. And it was kind of an emotional ceremony they had videoed on Wednesday, the day before the tournament started. It was caught on camera, and he had said how, look, you know, we know it's been a rough year for everybody, but especially for Davis Love, and that he knows a lot of the memorabilia and memories in terms of the physical memories, the trophies, the, you know, the flags, all that sort of stuff that he had from winning were destroyed. A lot of them were destroyed in his house fire. So they presented him with a new plaque. It had all 5 years on it that he won, Kevin. And we know Love, of course, is well-liked by players, a class act, but I thought that was a really cool moment that they did that for him.
Yeah, you know, I think people forget at times these are human beings. And to have that happen, I remember seeing the images of it. It was just like, wow, you know, a beautiful home that, you know, your life's work, and it's just, you know, gone, right? Just like that. And he had, you know, amazing comments afterwards, like, hey, it's just, it's a house, it's tough, everybody's safe, right? You know, all those things. But yeah, you know, when you get past it, you think about, oh, all the pictures, right? Memories, reminders of it. So yeah, very, very cool thing that they're able to do to honor Davis Love III, who, I mean, I'm trying to think of Jeff out of Smooth Swings of all time, right? Freddie Couples, Davis Love III. I mean, just great looking swings.
Yeah, he had those high hands. He had the long levers. And I think he's a Carolina boy. He's from down in that area of the country, and he's comfortable on that type of golf course. You know, his dad was a PGA pro, so I've always been a big fan of Davis Love III for years and years. I remember why. I mean, he was a good college player. We've been talking about Davis Love for 30 years, I feel like. And you know, you say it is just a house, but you know, house, all that stuff makes a home, and I'm sure it was tough for him, but yeah, you can rebuild, and hopefully he can rebuild on the senior tour too, because I'd like to watch him play a little bit more. He's fun to watch play.
Hey, Brian, you mentioned something real quick, and I want to mention this. You know, Donald Ross, our clothing partners, they just launched their online store. So previously, you could only get Donald Ross sportswear at your pro shop. But now you can order online. Go to DonaldRoss.com. They've been offering, if you want to do it this weekend, a free hat with some orders. So make sure you do that, DonaldRoss.com. And by the way, it's the only golf clothing my wife compliments me on. The only. And Jeff, you know I own a lot of golf shirts. Every time I put a Donald Ross one on or a pullover, says, wow, that looks nice on you. Everything else? Eh, no.
Well, maybe she's trying to tell you something, Jeff. Maybe you should thin out that.
No, I just think it's more of a compliment of the cut and fit of Donald Ross.
Well, yeah, they're high end. They make the nicest stuff. So, yeah, if they can make you look good, Kev, think about that. Yeah.
Well said. Well said. Okay.
Yes. Hey, here's another positive thing to talk about. The nice thing they did for Davis Love III, the PGA Tour continuing to do good things. If you watched last week at the Charles Schwab Challenge, by the way, many of you did watch. It was the most watched final round in 16 years on the PGA Tour. The ratings are, on that event, the ratings were up over 50%. So people are watching golf. There's not a lot of live sports, so PGA Tour taking advantage. You may have noticed that the caddy bibs have two names on the back. I tweeted this out last week, so you might have heard this already, but I know we didn't say it on the show. One of the names, of course, is for the player. The other name is for a local healthcare worker that the PGA Tour is honoring. And I think that's really cool. I've heard players and caddies be interviewed about this, Jeff. that they're very proud to wear that other name on there, knowing that they obviously say, you know, right now they are the real heroes playing right now.
Yeah, it's a good point and good time to remember those people. You know, as we feel like we're getting back to normal, maybe a little bit more so in our lives, you know, except for the masks and social distancing. These people are still fighting it out every day and going to work and still dealing with the sickness. So, you know, the PGA Tour has always been about charity, always been about bringing exposure to things like that. And they've raised more money for charity than any other major sports league by far. So, you know, it's just the nature of how they work and how golf works as a rule.
Absolutely. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas here on Tee to Green. Happy Father's Day weekend, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on WGR. Coming up in our next segment, some information on Lancaster Country Club. Ray Tugent, the general manager, David Wagner, the president of the board. We'll talk to Kevin. We'll have that coming up. Steve Beatty from Custom Turf in our third segment. But a couple more things to get to here before we take our first time out. Let's get to our Ryder Cup report next year. And it is brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Team USA. Jim Furyk, one of the Champions Tour players playing this week at the RBC Heritage, talked about, again, playing the Ryder Cup without fans. It seems to be something that everybody wants to chime in on. Not only did he say that it would be completely strange, he said the players, this is the event, he goes, that they are there, you know, all for the fans. He goes, they're not there to win money. He goes, this is all for the fans. He talked about the logistics of the PGA America, saying, like, look, this is their pride and joy, and they want it to be the way it was intended to be. So, Jeff, you're a PGA member.
Yep.
Are you swaying one way or the other on playing this with or without fans? I know it's kind of something that we've gone back and forth on.
Yeah, and I, the more I think about it, the more I land where a lot of these players are, I think. You know, the Ryder Cup is a different golf event. It's all about those cheers on the first tee. It's all about being booed. Without those fans, without that tension, I mean, you know, if you're sitting on the first tee at the Ryder Cup and they're chanting USA, USA, your heart is going nuts. If you're on the first tee and you're just playing another guy and there's no, you know, it's the your blood pressure levels go way down, probably to a normal level. It'll feel like a normal event. Like they said, they're not playing for money that week. They're playing for, you know, pride and the trophy. And it takes a lot of the joy and the ebullience of that event out of it without those fans there. I know it's a financial commitment. I know there's a million factors involved there. I do wish they could find a way to have some fans there or wait and you know, play next year when we can have fans.
Yep. We're gonna finish
again, but before the issue with 2021, you got a President's Cup year too. So I mean,
I know. And I know there's a lot to do. Yeah.
A lot of picks next year.
Spring. I don't know. Find a way. Skip it. I don't know what you do.
Well, but listen, yes, I understand about the fans, right? But Ryder Cup's about legacy, right? I mean, listen, Sergio Garcia is one of the great players, right? Masters, and because of Ryder Cup. Even before the Masters win, Ryder Cup's incredible. Kyle Montgomery hasn't won a major, but his Ryder Cup record, right? I mean, makes him a legend in Europe.
Yep.
So it's not just – you can play it without the fans, and yeah, there won't be the playing to the fans, but you can't tell me that Ian Poulter wouldn't want to beat the brains out of Patrick Reed in a match. It would be great television to watch. Just my thoughts.
Okay. Before we get to our tip of the week, one little local news this week. Oak Hill announcing that they will be hosting the 2027 U.S. Men's Amateur. We know the 2023 PGA Championship will be at Oak Hill. So Oak Hill's had some renovations. I don't know if anybody's got a chance to see pictures of it. It looks phenomenal. Some of the things that they've done, a lot of restoration back to its old design. But Oak Hill getting another event in 2027.
And Brian, you'll be caddying for your son in that event.
2027, maybe. That would be cool.
Yeah.
That's a good goal to set on there. That's right. By the way, Kevin and I are more than willing to come out and check out Oak Hill if anybody's listening. Right, Kevin?
Well, with the renovations, yeah. I think it's proper that we
for show it, research purposes.
We played it right before the renovations. We need to compare it.
I consider it a snub at this point that you haven't been invited yet. So I'll make a phone call for you guys.
Thank you, Jeff. You're the one with the most power here.
Yeah.
A couple of minutes left here in this segment before we get to our next one. Let's get to our Western York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western York PGA. The Western York PGA has one goal, promoting the game of golf tomorrow. Let's start this over. Today, tomorrow, and beyond. Yes. So the Western York PGA this week, in conjunction, teaming up with the United Way, has a 6-foot putting challenge. You can find out all the details on it at WNYPGA.com or also on their Twitter handle at WNYPGA. You donate $6, you make a 6-foot putt. Again, check out the details. Pretty cool idea here to raise some money for the United Way. But let's talk about making a 6-foot putt. Those are just, Jeff, that's in that just outside gimme range, right? I know.
Yeah, and I think if you check the stats, the tour players are making about 50% of 6-footers. It's right around there where it goes down below 50%. It might be 5 feet. It changes a little bit every year. Some of the fundamentals of that are, you know, people think the line is the most important thing when you're making those putts. Always remember, pace is going to be the most important. What I see is most people give up on those. They kind of swat them. They do a lot of gimmies. Get yourself in the habit of trying to make those. Go through your routine. The reason I see people missing a lot of those putts is because they'll move their body. So remember, your body wants to be rock solid. I like to drill where I put my butt up against the wall and make a bunch of practice swings. And that keeps my body solid. And, you know, I say you want to keep your head pretty still while you're putting. You keep everything very still while you're putting. You're trying to create a very, very simple machine. So go out and practice these. One of the best ways to practice making the short putts is a chalk line. So find a real nice straight putt, snap it out about 4 or 5 feet, put your ball on that and hit putts up and down that chalk line. You'll develop a lot of confidence. A lot of that is very confident. Think if you never missed a 4-footer, 5-footer, 6-footer, how good your scores will be. It's simple. Work on the fundamentals, work on the chalk line, and work on your pace.
Brian, during COVID-19, 6-footers are good.
I've noticed.
That's right. Good advice there from Jeff. Again, that 6-foot putting challenge to benefit the United Way. Check out the information, WNYPGA.com. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, little information coming your way about Lancaster Country Club. Kevin will chat with the general manager, Ray Tugin, and the president of the board, David Wagner. When we return as we roll on here on Father's Day weekend on Tee to Green with PGA Pro Jeff Mitas and Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colesfield. Thanks for being with us. Tee to Green coming right back right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're back on Tee to Green, and normally by now we would have already visited one of our home clubs once already in the season, but it's been a different kind of year for our annual tour. But we're still playing golf, and I am proud to be joined now by a couple of gentlemen from my home club, Lancaster Country Club, the general manager, Ray Tugin, and the board president, David Wagner. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the show, and Ray, I will start with you. In operating club, have you ever had a crazier spring than this spring with what everything that went on with COVID-19, with golf, no golf, golf again, and all the restrictions and things you've had to go through?
No, we have not. This has been the craziest year of my career, for sure. With you know, things changing literally by the hour, and obviously adhering to all the guidelines from both the local and state government. So it's been challenging, the club is doing the best we can during these times.
And David, I imagine there, I don't know if there's been more board meetings or more board conversations during this time.
It's a lot of conversation these days, a Zoom meeting or two, and we've just started this past month with regular meetings again. So we're getting back to a little bit of normalcy with what we do. But thank God for email and the ability to do some of these meetings online these days, because I'm glad I don't have to make all of the decisions myself.
Well, yeah, no. And, well, I'll tell you what, the decisions you guys have made, you know, from a guy being a member and playing, I think you guys have done a great job. Really have, as far as everything that's been done and what could be done, and the gradual opening and just the communication's been fantastic. And let's just talk about that for a second, David. Talk about the communication that you guys have had with all the members, because it's been excellent.
I first want to just thank all of the members of Lancaster Country Club this year for the patience and how well they've handled all of this. I know being a country club member is a luxury these days, but the membership has been absolutely phenomenal. But we've really just followed the guidelines that have been put forward by the CDC and our local organizations, and tried to abide by them to the best nature that we can. We're still waiting. I'd say we've got the club to a point where we're 75% open now that we've been able to open the restaurants this past week. But we still, unfortunately, we've lost all of our Monday tournaments and all of the weddings this year. And then beyond that, we're still waiting for guidelines on when the pool can be opened. So it's been a very interesting year, to say the least, on how you got to reopen things slowly and how much business has been lost at the club this year. But I couldn't express how well or how great the club looks these days, and especially the golf course.
Oh, I'll get to that in a moment. I just want to follow up with Ray on what you said there. Ray, I think a lot of credit goes to your staff too, and how I imagine they've been eager and anxious to get things up to 100% capacity, and are feeling the sting, a little bit, but I don't notice it in the service.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone wants the club to be back to normal. It's a fun atmosphere for both the members, their guests, and employees when, you know, the grow room's filled and, you know, we're hosting our events and things of that nature. But they're grasping every little subtle change without hesitation. And they're not huge fans of the masks, but, it's part of the protocol. And last night we had our men's club here, and the members and the staff had a great time. So, yeah, it's nice to see everyone coming back again and not just handing off a to-go bag outside. And, major news today is, we never thought putting a rake on a golf cart would be exciting, but we're pretty excited about it. Being able to do that as part of our golf protocol, we'll be, disinfecting rakes as well as the cart too. So that was a monumental thing today. So now maybe you can... we can take care of our bunkers a little bit better and have a nice hitting surface. So all in all, we're starting to get our staff back and in full swing. I think every day is going to get just a little bit more fun and better.
I'm excited about the rakes, because the last round I played, I found five bunkers and had some issues with a couple of lies in those bunkers. But, of course, the answers don't hit it in the bunker. So I'm not going to blame any footprints or anything on that. David, let's talk about the golf course, since you brought it up. And, I was a member there from 2008 to 2012 and took a break and am back. And the course is – I thought it was good back then, but it's amazing now with some of the tree removal – the way the fairways are cut, it's awesome visually.
I've been a member of Lancaster for going on 9 years this year. And this year, every year we always say, oh, it looks great this year. This year is absolutely phenomenal. We have greens that are rolling right now as fast as anywhere as I've been in Western New York right now. Fairways are cut and pristine, and the golf course just looks like a picture while you're out there. So it is great to be out again and be able to get the carts out and just truly enjoy the golf course. So it looks wonderful.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on the greens. I can't believe what they're rolling at. I mean, and they've been that way for, gosh, nearly since the start. It's been incredible.
Yep. So our greenskeeper this year has done just a tremendous job of working under very tough conditions and at times having only half the staff there. But he has done just a tremendous job of getting this course in order. And we've been doing little additions to the course with some paving of some of the cart paths. And one of the projects we're working on out there right now, which will differentiate us as a golf course, is we're adding a 6x6 foot mat to every hole to create what amounts to be a par 3 course within the golf course. And they'll all be in kind of tucked away positions that won't affect any of the play of the golf course. But families can go out there, or somebody wants to practice, or if the weather conditions don't work for us, we will have turf mats that we actually run a par 3 tournament now and have been doing that. It's gone over so well that we've decided to permanently put these mats into the golf course as well for us. So it's just a neat little idea that we came up with as a board and we've run with.
I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
So we've got the first one out there on the fifth hole right now, and we're hoping by the end of the month here we can have all the front side done. And unfortunately, the par 3 tournament that we based around the Masters par 3 tournament was canceled earlier in the year. But we've got it rescheduled for later in the year, and we're really looking forward to having this all complete by then.
Ray, speaking on tournaments, one thing I've noticed, and I've participated in more, maybe it's because I'm not running the Little League baseball or spring hockey, but there is something for everybody of all skill level, competitive-wise, amongst the membership at Lancaster.
We run everything from scratch tournaments, year-long tournaments, handicap, individual, two-person teams, both, men and women alike. It's a very diverse program. We're pretty excited to get the junior golf camp okayed, and that'll start the first week of July with Mike and his team. He has a really cool program that I've never seen before called the Tune Out for our beginner ladies. Essentially, they play have a half-hour clinic, and then they go out and basically have a social two holes where they kind of get used to being on the golf course and to try to take some of the intimidation away, which is very, very well attended and received. So there's things for everyone to do here, young and old alike, men and women, and the team over there in the golf shop does a great job along with the golf committee and all of the chairs that spend countless numbers of hours putting this thing together. So we have a really, really good program.
And I'll tell you what, for any golfer out there, if you really want to feel some what it's like maybe for PGA Tour players, when you're coming out on the 18th on league night, or whether it be a Friday afternoon or Saturday round, and you see the people up there on the patio, and they'll give you the golf clap if you make the putt or hit a quality shot in there, you hear a little cheer. That's kind of a cool thing, the patio overlooking the 18th.
Yeah, the patio is obviously this year more than ever, but even prior to some of these restrictions, the patio is one of the nicest patios that I've seen locally, and most well attended. And you're right, they root for you, and then they heckle you a little bit, and it's a fun time, and you'll get used to it after a while, Kevin.
Well, I tell you what I do like on the 18th, and we played it on the TD Green TV special. I think it's one of the great finishing holes in Western New York, especially now that that tree is gone that used to be on the right side, it's shorting the pond. You can play everything from driver to a 7-iron off the tee and be successful.
When that tree came down, we also had to change some of the out-of-bounds markers on that hole because it just opened the hole wide open for the big guys to hit right at the green. So as you'll notice now on the back of that hill, it ends up being out-of-bounds up there. But they still take their shots at it. And one of our members, I know you mentioned on TD Green, Derek Roller had a hole-in-one there during the Scratch tournament 2 years ago. So it really is amazing. It's a lot of fun as a whole. You can hit just about anything you want off the tee, and then leave yourself as short or as long a shot in as you want from there.
Yeah, we should. But need to be accurate. It's not just you pull it a little bit. You're in the hazard. Yeah. You push it right. You're in the pond. Yeah, it's not easy.
There are plenty of problems out there on that hole, but it's definitely a lot of fun to play. And I know I look forward every year, our invitational, which will be coming up here in the beginning of July, or the beginning of August, I'm sorry. We ultimately use the 18th hole after we play our playoff, and there's a four-hole stretch we play. The final two teams play the 18th hole over and over again until we have a winner. And the 100 members and guests that play in that all surround that 18th hole and get to watch. And it is definitely one of the best experiences at our club.
All right. Final thing. And Ray, I'll add this for you. Okay. You know, someone who may have been thinking about joining Lancaster Country Club prior to COVID might be thinking, I can't do it now. But there are still opportunities, right? You can still give them a tour. Just kind of explain what the process would be right now.
Yeah, so we have all the protocols in place, at the main entrance. So, you know, we take, the log of temperatures and so on and so forth to, you know, obviously comfort them. You know, we offer masks. And then we take a full tour of the club. The simulator, all the way to the patios, the pool, which, by the way, hopefully it'll be opening here shortly, waiting for some guidance on that, but there's no problems getting anyone in here. We did have some virtual tours there at the very beginning when we weren't allowed to have anyone in the building, but now there's no problems at all. We do have some promotions in place that anyone wants to give us a call, and there's no pressure here. It's a very family-oriented fun place to be. Everyone's very welcoming, from some of our longtime members to those that just decided to pull the trigger. So we go through everything step by step, and they ask them whatever questions they need to be comfortable, and we'll present the offer. And one of the biggest draws right now is the board has approved no dues until January 2021. So basically, you join up, you play, enjoy the rest of the golf season and obviously the events when they come back, and your dues will start in January. So I'd encourage anyone, it's a little hidden gem here on Broadway that, to be perfectly honest, until I started here 3 years ago, I didn't realize what type of club this is, and I wish I'd been here a lot longer. So I encourage anyone to give us a call, and we'd be happy to show them around.
Well, and I'll echo that it is fun. The membership is a fun group, and there's always something going on. I mean, just you'll never say, oh, nothing happened. No, there's always something going on at the club, even now during some of the restrictions that we have. And everybody has been there's people have been members back when I was before, and they're all like, hey, great to see you back. So I'm thrilled. It's been awesome to be back at Lancaster Country Club, and I would encourage anybody looking to check out a club, contact Ray. LCCNY.com is the website. All the information is right there. Course is beautiful. It's serene when you get out on the property, and I guarantee you're going to have a great time. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Tee to Green right here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Tee to Green. I want to thank our friends at Scroy Financial, the locally family-owned financial planning firm. They've been helping Western New Yorkers achieve financial goals since 1971. And listen, if you didn't have any advice during this ride in the stock market on the wave up and down, you missed out. Give our friends at Scroy Financial a call for a complimentary one-hour consultation, 674-6700, or go to scroyfinancial.com. That's S-G-R-O-I Financial.com. Also want to thank our friends at the Jumpa Allstate Agency. The Jumpa Agency offices in Williamsville and in Clarence.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Before we get to our next guest, speaking of Allstate, they're part of our majors contest, as is Batavia Downs. If you haven't had a chance to check out our Tee to Green Extra this week, it's up on our YouTube page. I also tweeted it out as well. Also, our Tee to Green Twitter account tweeted it out. I spoke with Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs Gaming. Later this afternoon is the Belmont Stakes, the first of the three majors. So if you want to get in your bets, there's a horse, by the way, guys, named Four Left. It's spelled the correct golf way, F-O-R-E.
How can Don't you tell everybody.
Four Left, right?
That's going to drive the value down. We want to get that horse at the high odds.
That's true.
On the down low, yeah.
Great That's point, right. Jeffrey.
That's yes. right. Anyway, Ryan's got a lot of great insight and how you can place your wager through BataviaBets.com. Check that out, our Tee to Green Extra. I'll tweet it out again after the show today, but you've got it up there on my Twitter handle as well. Batavia Downs, also part of our majors contest along with Allstate. Our majors contest is still on this year. It'll be in August, the first one for the PGA Championship, which will be held in San Francisco this year. Okay, our final segment here. Let's get to Steve Beatty from Custom Turf, good friend of the show and a longtime partner of the show as well. Steve, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been enjoying my Custom Turf putting green in my backyard here all through the spring and the summer, and I feel like I owe you a good amount of gratitude. I'm doing a lot better on my 10 foot and in range up on when I'm playing because they've had a lot of practice in the backyard.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Brian, nice. Gratitude, you gotta pay that back. But this is what I'm disappointed about, Steve. I mean, that thing has been in your backyard how long, Brian? A couple years?
2 years, yeah.
2 years. Steve did this awesome work. I've seen pictures, Steve. I haven't seen it in person. That's all I'm saying, Brian.
Oh, I have lots of times.
Oh, there. See?
It's very nice. It's very
There's
nice.
My point. But conversely,
all of the Tee to Green workings, Kevin, involve me having to come to your facility.
I was going to say, you've seen the indoor, the indoor putting studio that Steve did in my house. I've seen Jeff's basement setup where he can work on all this. I'm just saying, haven't seen the outdoor putting green. But enough of that. Steve, let's talk about when people are thinking about whether they want indoor or outdoor putting greens. What are some of the things they should be considering whether they want something done indoors or outdoors?
Well, the indoor is a very, very maintenance-free. You can run your vacuum over it when you're all said and done, and that's about the only care indoors. Outdoor, there's a little more Mother Nature plays into it a little bit. And you want to pick a spot that's in the open. You don't want to put it underneath a tree. Sometimes people make a mistake maybe and get underneath trees or dirty outside functions that Mother Nature causes issues with. Where the
I think you're talking about flight patterns there, right? With the bird flight, I guess, if you're referring to there.
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm working with Steve now, and Steve's been doing this for 26 years. Is that correct, Steve?
You've been 24
years. And, you know, as a golf professional, as a PGA professional, someone who's into all this stuff, we get to do some really cool stuff. We get to design backyard greens, range tees for people. indoor setups. If you're a golf fanatic with all this COVID stuff going on, it's really nice to have your own setup in your yard or your basement so you can continue to work on your game. And one of the things that's cool is the pet turf. Like, yeah, it started off as a golf company. We put in Thursday, we put in a really cool setup in the city, a pet turf setup for somebody. I'll tweet out some pictures that, so the dogs, whatever, they go outside, you pick up the logs, as Steve likes to say, and everything else, Mother Nature rinses through. It's a really, really cool product. It's long lasting. He's a pleasure to work with. So I've been fortunate to hook up with Steve now and help design some of these really cool installations that we can do.
Steve, what are some of the options that pet owners have, in terms of just some of the things that you've done, some of the most creative things? I'm sure there's a lot of pet lovers listening right now.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of happy pet customers. And like Jeff said, when we got into it, we were into it strictly for golf. And nowadays, probably half of what we do is pet-related and kind of came out of the blue. It's been great because there's no more muddy backyards, muddy couches, muddy windows, and everything that goes with muddy feet when the dogs come in. That's a thing of the past, and people have really, really taken to the pet turf idea.
Yeah, and simulators, too. Lately, we're getting into simulators and doing some really beautiful indoor installs for simulators. If you got a simulator or you want to hit in your basement and have a launch monitor in your basement or something like that or in your garage, that's something Steve does very well also.
How much space do you need, Steve, for an indoor simulator?
A minimum, I would say, is like a 12 by 16-ish.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. I thought that'd be the minimum.
Most are, you want to have a little extra space, but if you're really packing one in there tight, I would think that'd be about the small as you could go.
Yeah.
I mean, have people used their garages for this?
Oh, yeah. We have customers who have it in a garage that use it, take the green down. They have a green and a tee mat in the garage in the winter, and then they take it up for the summer and they play golf all winter.
Brian, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, brother. you need that height for the backswing. There may be a member of my house who tried a backswing in the basement and hit the light and cracked that. Okay, it was me. trying that grip out, Jeff, that you helped fix me. I was like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me. Like, how stupid, stupid can I be? But that happens all the time. But that's why I wonder about the height. Steve, time frame. So if someone's thinking about, hey, you know what, I want to have an indoor putting green or an indoor simulator for this coming winter, like how far in advance do they have to reach out? What's the time frame on installation?
During the summertime, generally we run from the time somebody commits till they get installed anywhere normally from 4 to 6 weeks probably. I would say right now we're a little behind that due to our late start getting all our maintenance done on previous projects. But and then in the wintertime, it's nice if somebody wants to schedule an indoor installation for whatever, December 23rd, and we take care of everything between now and then. We build everything right at our shop, and we come and generally can set up a entire indoor studio in a day as long as we've got everything all constructed at our facility. So it's nice in the winter to be able to plan in advance a little more, and you don't have to deal with the Mother Nature end of it and rain and all that. It's nice indoors, and the projects have been really cool, better than I ever imagined, actually.
Yeah, they like double as movie theaters and stuff, too. It's not just a golf simulator. You can do a lot of stuff with those simulators and the projectors. It's pretty cool.
That's right. Well, before we wrap up here, for all you slackers that haven't gotten Dad a Father's Day present yet, this could be it. Write him a card. Say, look, your Father's Day present this year, I'm going to get you something from Custom Turf. They can call you on Monday or check out the website on Sunday. Pick out something for the yard or for the basement or for the garage. And there you go. I just solved everybody's dilemma right there.
Perfect idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Heroes will be made this weekend.
That's Heroes right. How much made. Do you love your dad? Yeah. That's how much you love him.
Steve, how can they check out all the great work that you guys have done?
You can check us right out online at customturf.com. And any questions, you can send us a little note on there, or the office number is also on there. Reach out, and we're pretty easy to get along with.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Well, reach out to me. I'll give you some information also.
And Kevin, I know one thing we always like to spotlight on the show, golf related, of course, in many capacities, but just local companies doing good things. And, you know, I know that, you would echo my thoughts that Steve not only is a great local company and a good person to work with, but does a lot of great work for even charitable things around Western New York as well.
You'd be hard pressed to find a better company to do business with than Custom Turf. And Steve and everybody works for him. Down to earth people, and hardworking, and the finished product's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we're proud to partner with Custom Turf and with
Absolutely.
Steve.
Steve, thanks for joining us. Happy Father's Day weekend as well to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Steve Beatty from Custom Turf. Of course, check it out, customturf.com. And that will put a wrap here on our show for this week for Tee to Green. I want to thank Steve, of course, for just joining us. Also in our previous segment from Lancaster Country Club, Ray Tugent and David Wagner. And for Derek Kramer producing, and all the dads out there, happy Father's Day weekend. Enjoy the golf. Enjoy your weekend. For Jeff Midas, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colgill. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday right here on WGR.